Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number four, G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Come say hi. Okay, we're out and about here today, just about 15 minutes from my house, actually. We're in Rockwall, Brass Tap. Just come on over the bridge on 30 and take your first right, and you'll see us over here by the movie theater and all the different restaurants. And it's great hangout here, especially in the spring when you get that good weather going. But, yeah, we're live at the Brass Tap. Thanks to Stella Artois for sponsoring our appearance once again. Finest beer in town, finest beer around, Stella Artois. Make a great 0.0, by the way. Anyway, it is time now on a very busy Football Tuesday for an edition of the Finest. Here's the Chief.
Thank you very much, 877-881-1053. I got some Super Bowl questions, and I'm actually just wondering in real time right now. I see Greg Olson with some quotes. And does Tom Brady have the most pressure on him for this Super Bowl than any of the other guys? I mean, Tom Brady's got to be up there on the list of who's got the most pressure on them to meet the moment and perform at the highest level. I think Tom Brady might be Jalen Hurts, Tom Brady 1A, 1B. I think the pressure's real.
Yeah, yeah, and I feel bad for him. You know, I know he's doing his best, but it was over this past weekend where I recognized that look on his face, and it reminds
the
me
the Botox,
not the Botox, although that is significant.
It really doesn't move.
My wife was like, "Oh my gosh, he can't move his face really."
But there's a broadcaster deer in headlights look that I have not seen since Mike Bassick in his rookie year in the G-Bag Nation. We got to go back to 2013, right? And it'd be time for his live spot, and it was like, oh, my goodness, just, right? Yeah. And I think longtime Tolos, it was hilarious. Roy White did this hilarious bit of a Mike Bassick live spot. Oh. This classic piece of audio, if you remember that. But over the next 3, 4, 7, 8 years, like, Bassick became one of the greats.
Yes.
You know, so I do believe if Tom sticks with it, but, like, his energy is off. He's forcing it. He's not letting the game come to him. And, you know, it's starting to be a pretty tough scene at times, Wolchuk.
Yeah, I'd say that there's two things here that could end up coming into focus. One, and this is the positive for Tommy, is that it's the Super Bowl. When did Tom Brady usually perform? In the Super Bowl. So maybe he's saving his best for this very moment. The other thing that's saving him is...
It's optimistic.
I think we're at an all-time low when it comes to color commentators right now.
Okay.
I think we are. I don't think Romo's got his fastball anymore. I think Collinsworth has gone downhill. I don't think we've got anybody that's good.
Troy?
Troy's okay, but Troy's now shoved himself to Monday Night Football. Honestly, Eric, who cares anymore?
Troy's pretty good. I think you got a good point, though. And I think part of the problem is you took a lot of former players. They were going after the name recognition. Remember the last time the big NFL TV deals were negotiated, there was a bidding war between CBS, Fox, and ABC, ESPN to get the top name to sell to the networks. Hey, look at what we're bringing. And Romo was involved in that. You know, Brady was a big part of that. And in the end, the best analysts who are doing the great work kind of got overlooked. Mm-hmm. And now we're dealing with the post-reality
See,
of that.
See, that's where I've got some blind spots where when you watch a game, like maybe there's some guys that are working on crews 3, 4, 5 that you don't hear enough and you're thinking, gosh, this guy would be pretty good. They don't. Why is he working? Why is he working this Arizona – you know, Atlanta game. Or why, I used
Olson,
Atlanta.
Olson's
why is he
really
working
good.
This Cowboys game now? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Olson's awesome.
That's what I'm saying.
Olson is an upgrade to me right now over Romo or Collinsworth, if I'm those networks.
See, that's what I thought Olson was great. And there's people that don't like Olson doing the games. And
there's always going to be some, like, they just don't like somebody for some reason. But, like, I always thought Darryl Johnston was pretty good.
I couldn't tell you the other guys that were, the Jonathan Vilmas and the other guys. I know, you know. I mean, you don't hear them enough. They could be superstars.
Yeah.
But they're just, you know, they're working those bad games that only 3% of the country is seeing right now. You know, so I'd like to believe there's some seriously talented guys out there that are working these games. I just know I haven't seen them yet.
You know? Yeah. Greg Olson said he wouldn't describe it as resentment, but he says it's not too far off either, if I'm being honest about the idea that he got taken over by Brady. He says it's hard to sit there and watch games that over the last couple of years you were preparing for, you were calling, and then you're sitting there on your couch and you're watching the game and you're almost kind of broadcasting the game in your brain. You're saying, oh, man, what would I have said on this play? There was so much to talk about here or there, or that would have been super fun to dive into. So, yeah, I understand. I understand the salty nature that he would be carrying around with him a little bit, but he's still fantastic. I really enjoyed when he was on the Cowboys games this year, but
yes, I
do think that the Brady conversation leading up to the Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday, day after,
a lot of pressure
clips,
on
little
Tom.
Moments. I'm telling you, yeah. I mean, seriously, as we power rank the pressure,
he was a great player in
hurts
Super Bowl.
Brady
yeah.
hurts Brady.
Yeah.
By the way, you mentioned the Botox, and you know, I do think appearance is relevant here because the more like unconfident he becomes, the less good looking he becomes. You can see that. I think it's knocking off at least a solid 2 points from him.
Yeah.
And he can feel it, so he's going to the Botox, but even that can't help him at this point.
No, that's
starting to look a little Chucky-esque at times with the tension in his face.
Yeah. When they go to the face shots of him and they sit there and
it's like I'm struggling to make words for the first time in my life for some reason.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough.
He used to do great work with that Jim Gray Monday night interview. I mean, there have been
the Let's Go.
Yeah. I mean, he really had that down. By the end of his career, he could do a really nice player interview for you. You know, we just need to get back to that comfort zone.
Do you think Mahomes is keeping Dick Fangio up at night already? Or will it start next week that he gets the night sweats with Mahomes haunting his dreams? Because
he's going to put in his game plan this week. Because when you get to the game, you really don't.
We didn't need a literal answer, Brian.
Hayes in the barn.
What? That was, you know, just play along with the bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all good.
What was the bit?
Is Mahomes keeping Dick Fangio up at night?
Yes, he's sweating. Nightmares.
I feel like we painted that picture pretty nicely.
No, I was just saying I was saying he better put his game plan in this week
right now.
Yeah, because when you get to New Orleans, it's
distractions.
Hard. Distractions. It's hard.
Bourbon.
Yes.
Beads.
Okay, go ahead.
Of a multitude of varieties.
Right.
How
there
do
you
the
go.
Beads really work, though, Brian? Like, is that just we're going to be walking down the street and people are throwing beads at us? I got jugs.
If Wolchuk does the truffle shuffle and takes that shirt off, he's going to – like, I think Wolchuk could collect a lot of beads.
This set.
In New
is
Orleans.
This a 24/7, 365 thing or just a Mardi Gras thing, right?
This would be
a little bit early.
I think this is – I think early. There's it's a little early, but, yeah, because I think March is when we do – but. Mardi Gras is going on right now, so there'll be some beads involved here, yeah.
So do we need to stock up on the beads?
Well, if you want to be passing along, I think Walchuk's going to collect them by showing off his own.
I'm going to make sure I get the most beads.
You've got a hell of a set.
You kidding me? I've been working hard for this in soda.
I can see that.
That's going to be something I think we're going to be working towards. We're going to have our stat of the day. How many beads has Walchuk collected by showing off, you know, showing a little skin?
Triple D Cherie.
Showing those salamis.
Mm-hmm. Pepperonis.
That's true.
They're a little bit smaller than salami.
You're right. No, you're 100%. I misspoke. Well, when in Rome.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Pepperoni's delicious.
Yeah,
so is salami for
but
what
the way,
it's worth.
The way you just described it, I threw up in my mouth.
Well, it was a bit descriptive.
I think Fangio's throwing up in his mouth as he recalls the last eight instances, the only eight instances that he's met his match with Pat Mahomes. 8-0.
Matt Mahomes. Who's Matt Mahomes?
That's a different
Yeah, this Matt Mahomes. I'll tell you what, man. This Matt Mahomes is keeping me up at night.
Patty's 8-0 against this guy?
And you're ripping me about
how much of that is Broncos.
Matt Mahomes. All right.
You have every right to laugh at me.
That's a bit.
Right now.
That's now a bit of trip.
Matt Mahomes.
Hey, what do you think about this Matt Mahomes guy?
That's a great idea.
How about Jagon and Terrell, who's standing like, what, 10 feet away from us? I don't know. I'm bad at math. And he said, I'll give Wolchuk beads not to show him.
There you go.
Wow.
That's a dear friend.
Hey, that's a guy that hasn't seen him. That's how you know he hasn't seen him yet.
Fair enough.
Okay, so yeah, Mahomes is 8-0 versus Fangio. And this is a couple of times when Fangio was the head coach of the Broncos, so they met plenty twice a year. And then he was the defensive coordinator for the Dolphins when the Dolphins went up to Arrowhead and people were getting frostbit and Tua was just
tough day.
Crapping in his helmet.
Yes.
You know,
he literally
like Schlereth would say.
I mean, he had some pretty good defenses with Denver, but no offense. Now he's got the full package.
That's true.
Seems like a fair fight now.
Mahomes, 8 games. He's got 2,000 yards, 11 touchdowns.
I don't know about that Matt Mahomes.
He completes 63% of his passes, and they've outscored him 215-95. So he's put up some points in these games.
He's done well.
But it's still just something to consider right now. And I think the other thing, too, is like, man, with the way the goal line sort of defense for the Chiefs was playing the other day. I know that the Eagles with the, they've mastered the tush push, but it's still not the same. That the tush push is not the same. The Juergens tush is not the same as the Kelce tush.
There's only one Travis Kelce tush.
Right, and there's only one Jason Kelce
gets
tush.
He used to get really low.
He could really burrow.
Low man wins.
Yeah, Juergens kind of plays a little bit higher, and it doesn't get – they don't get the – because when you get down, everybody then surges behind that.
Yes, it was, Jason.
So do you guys think the Chiefs could actually stop them on a 4th-and-1?
Well, so that's what I'm saying. Like with the way the
I like the Commanders' plan. Just keep jumping off sides.
Frankie Louvu just keeps
just keep jumping off sides.
We had epic goal line battles, first, fourth down, and inches battles versus Josh Allen, who is a giant, strong dude. And
he
and
runs to his left every time.
You think that would be a cheat code, though? Like
they knew that. They knew
line.
That. That's what they were stopping
what
it.
Is
he runs
going
left
on?
Every time.
He should be the modern-day Cam Newton.
What are you worried about over there?
Josh Allen.
Are you on FaceTime?
What are you doing?
No, my grandma FaceTimed me, and it connects to my computer, so it just is frozen.
Wave to her. Say hi.
No, she's not on there.
Oh,
I denied grandma the birthday FaceTime. She's in South Carolina right now.
Is that Mom?
But it connects. No, it's Grandma Lynn. That's on my dad's side.
Oh, Lynn.
And she that's the annoying part is when your phone is connected to your computer, and now I have this FaceTime, like 20% of my screen right now is in use.
Kids, hola.
Yeah, that was a few minutes ago.
Hey, Josie.
Commercial break.
They're out there having archery practice in the backyard.
But yes, I think the goal line defense of the Chiefs is going to be something that, like, that's going to be a tall order. That's not going to be a pushover, easy
that's gonna be a fun matchup.
Fourth down conversions and goal line conversions for the Eagles, something that they've become a little bit accustomed to. And they're banged up on the interior of the offensive line right now as well. So all things to consider. And Chris Jones, I mean, he just had a 33.3% pass rush win rate against the Bills. For reference, Myles Garrett led the league during the regular season, 23%. Chris Jones just had a 10% better pass rush win rate in a game than Myles Garrett, who led the league this season.
Remember, we were watching that play, right guard that blocked nobody on the final snap with a blitz, and they just, man, that was a great call by our guy there, the defense coordinator.
That game, by the way, it was almost 58 million viewers on CBS, best for any NFC or AFC title game. Since Giants Niners in 2012.
Man, am I off on this? Like, I was really disappointed listening to Romo in that game.
Have another drink.
On Sunday, we don't get to, right, to see him.
That's what I was saying.
So the playoffs, really, this is kind of the first time I'm like, okay, what's up with Romo? Is he stinking now? I wasn't impressed.
Jeez. No, I unfortunately
that
don't.
Zach Wolchuk.
I didn't get a chance to really like sink into it with the kids and the conversation.
Up.
No, it's just like I'm watching, but I'm not really getting to hear as much as I would like to. And that's just a concession I have to make.
Just
I can't be yelling about it. But
it
I get what you're saying.
Awkward at times. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's not giving some of his analysis on the questionable calls from like a refereeing standpoint, and he's got
throwing
nothing.
It to break.
Jim's like,
all
right.
What are you saying right now? I don't know. I'm kind of off of him right now.
I saw from the Washington Post that Jaden Daniels had the highest selling jersey across all sports since the new year.
He's a likable guy.
And the best selling jersey this season for the NFL.
Yeah.
So, yeah, super likable guy.
Likable guy.
Football or ball sack on this? Because
those Washington fans haven't been able to buy a jersey for the last 8 years either, so they got a lot of pent-up demand.
Yeah, that's
taking out the Doug Williams jersey.
somebody from what's the stadium? Is that Hancock Whitney Stadium?
Is that the you talking about Buffalo?
In Mobile.
Oh, the roof fell in.
University of South Alabama?
Yeah.
Is that where they're doing this thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's going to be Hancock Whitney Stadium. I saw somebody take a picture of the Jumbotron that had ball metric leaders for National Day 1, and it showed...
Ball metric leaders?
Yeah, ball metrics. You know, like who had the longest air distance on a pass, who had the highest velocity on a pass.
Best volume.
Dylan Gabriel of Oregon, the lefty.
Yeah.
Fastest initial airspeed of 74.9 miles per hour.
Wow.
I don't think that's. I'm wondering if this is how real this can be. The combine record.
Well, he measured him super short.
Yeah, I don't think of him as like cannon arm guy.
Nah, screw him.
Dude, you buying that? You
I
think
mean,
that's
that
real?
Love.
Isn't a hot football like 65 miles an hour, 66?
Yeah, I think the combine record 62 miles per hour.
We might have caught, a wind gust. Maybe a wind gust?
Maybe it was kilometers.
Outdoors, we catch a wind gust?
You had a metric Canadian radar gun.
Frickin' Steve Palazzo was like, dude, this is Aroldis Chapman in a football uniform.
Yeah, I don't even know if
Steve
you catch
Palazzo
that.
Hates
a
me.
Lefty with well, yeah,
that's
exactly.
A shocker. What's the story with Steve Palazzo?
You guys always like, let's interview Steve Palazzo.
He sat down with us, and you guys were fine.
He looked at me and goes, my God, what am I doing here?
He's the Pro Football Focus guy.
Yeah.
He might be taller than you. That's one of the few people that I can say that.
Yeah. I mean, John Elway is one of the hardest throwing balls, and
I almost said it.
He could move it 70 yards, but they're saying it just over 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, this he might have.
He could throw 78. That's probably goal line to goal line.
That's gust.
Well, thank you, Chief.
Hey, my pleasure.
In addition to football's finest, live at the Brass Tap in Rockwall here, G-Bag Nation. It's brought to you by Stella Artois, finest beer in the land, finest beer glass in the land. I like the gold rim. You know, I just think that puts an extra touch on it.
You do like the gold rim. You always have.
Yeah. Top tier rim.
Have another drink, Woolchuck.
Should we do the top 10 rims? Wooly Bully, top 10 list of the day?
I think Woolchuck needs another couple of drinks to put this thing over the top.
Salted rim,
stop.
Margarita.
We need a tush push from Woolchuck.
Somebody get this guy an Uber for about 7 o'clock. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. L.A. Live's coming up in 23 minutes. We'll hit the expressway with you next in the Nation. Welcome back, Nation. We're live at the Brass Tap in Rockwall. Brought to you by Stella Artois. If it's quitting time, we'd love to see you swing on by. We haven't done a ton of remotes out here on the Far East Side, but here we are, and saying hi to a lot of familiar faces. Kevin Gray, KG, salute to you. Brought his wonderful daughter here with him to the Brass Tap, and you should come by and fellowship. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the On Time Experts as well. The Expressway is presented by the On Time Experts. Okay, LA Live with Lucius coming up here in just over 15 minutes. You ready for another Mavs trade rumor-ooski?
Let's do it.
According to an NBA insider, Jovan Buha, the Pacers are not sure if they want to give Miles Turner 30-plus mil in unrestricted free agency this summer, and said he has heard a little bit of chatter about the Pacers' willingness to include the DFW native in a trade. Okay, averaging 15.7 boards, almost a full steal a game and two blocks per game while shooting 47.9% from the floor, 39.3 from downtown. Obviously, you know, you wouldn't need three centers, so I think this would be a Daniel Gafford, Jaden Hardy plus a draft pick type of situation. Chief, can I get you to bite?
Wow, I'm definitely interested in it. I need to kind of look at where his health has been, because that is, I mean, with the big men, that's always sort of a problem. But I mean, that would be that would certainly be an upgrade. I mean, if you have Lively and Turner,
I mean, there was a time Miles Turner was just a dream. It was like, could you please get Miles Turner, bring him back home?
Yeah,
let's make.
It's
this
like he's
thing
missed
happen.
Three or four games this year.
That's not bad. That is not bad at all.
I haven't had to use him too much. He is playing 31 minutes a night. You know, that'd be an upgrade over Gafford, and it would add a dimension to your offense. The ability to get a rim protector who is also a floor stretcher.
Yeah, that's the huge thing.
Yeah.
He can actually shoot from a lot of different places on the floor, and that's not something that Lively or Gafford can bring you.
And
I mean, the space could be crazy.
He's going to be a free agent after this year, okay? So you're like, oh, well, we're going to have to pay him. But Gafford's going to be a free agent after next year.
Sure.
So if he wants $28, $30 million, I just hope New Vegas money, the Adelson family, is willing to go maybe not Golden State Warriors territory, but like New York or Los Angeles type of territory when it comes to, you know, doing whatever it takes to keep a roster together. You know, invest in the fans, invest in the future of your fan base, lock them in with great rosters that can win championships and build you generations and generations of passionate fans is, I think, how you want an owner to look at it. Some of them are just flat out unwilling to lose any amount of money. You know, I need to be accruing some sort of revenue from this. I think Golden State's thrown that out. Obviously, the Dodgers have thrown that out. There are a handful of teams around the world. Actually, Manchester City from the English Premier League is going through a significant investigation right now. They might strip them of their titles because they were spending more than you're supposed to. They're like, to hell with this. We want all the good players. So they might get punished, and you know that's the kind of owner you dream about. So we'll find out soon, you know, one way or another. Like if you just let the Gafford situation play out, and you know the offseason of 2026, that's a must bring back. And if you don't bring him back, you're signaling to the world we're scared of the luxury tax, and you know get ready for another round of you know miser ball here with the Scrooge McDuck factor. Mavs are 6-16 in games in which Klay Thompson plays 27 minutes or more.
There you go.
Maybe that is all skewed right. by yeah. you know the last 20 games or so being without Luka. But you know, I just think he's got to be a role player. You know that, and not only that, but a role player who's willing to say, maybe I only get 12 minutes tonight. Maybe my defense is so bad, and you know, and my shot's not falling in the first half, so I don't play in the second half. But other nights, maybe I'm on fire, and my defense is great, and you play me 35 minutes. You know, I think of the championship year, and Peja Stojakovic, one of the great three-point shooters of all time, spent the majority of his career with the Kings, was acquired. Maybe they waived him, and he just came over as like a late free agent, and he would start and play 15 minutes a night.
Yeah.
You know? So I say that because if you're worried about offending Klay Thompson by considering trading him, just imagine when you get to the playoffs and you're like, hey, we don't have that many minutes for you tonight. Like, his feelings are going to be hurt one way or another. Yeah. They've been hurt the last two or three seasons as he's tried and failed to come back to the player that he was.
Yeah.
That's why he's here.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Because the league just does not see him as that player anymore, so I don't know how worried you could be about offending him when you see a number like that. Like, what's that mean to you? 6-16 when Thompson plays 27 or more. That's almost as bad as Dak passing 35 times.
See, that's the problem that you run into, though. As long as the roster is depleted, you really can't justify not playing him.
Yeah, right now you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
If the roster was whole, then you could say, well, wait a minute, man. You need look. Here are the metrics. You got to understand that, right? You know, when you play, we're this. When you play this many minutes, we're this.
Yeah.
You know. You got to look at that. But that's a hard thing for them to sit there with the roster the way it is now and say you're not going to play. But if you get that thing whole, then maybe we can have that discussion, because he clearly is not the same player the more that he plays. And everybody in Golden State knew that. That's why they let him move on.
Yeah,
you know, they tried to bring him off the bench and things like that, and he, you know.
And this is a front office to pay Jordan Poole 2 years ago.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
So yeah, I think you got to look at that, and also the Luka factor. Like, if you can just get him on the perimeter catching passes from Luka and shooting, you know, 10 times a game over the course of 20 minutes, it probably, you know, his efficiency numbers are better. His winning percentage number is better.
There's no question. He's not a guy that you need creating or doing anything like that. Just give him the space necessary. Luka and Kyrie provide that, and you got a window into what he is capable of. You talk about not having to play too much. That's in one quarter. Yeah. In one quarter, he can change the entire dynamic of a game. And I know it's the Wizards and all that, but you can see what he's capable of, and that can win you a game in a series. That's of the utmost importance. Where you're trying to win four games. If Klay Thompson gives you one of those, and it's one quarter of flawless, ridiculous, historical basketball. Very few guys can just flip that switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how consistent can you give me something?
They put that team away last night. You know, early.
12 minutes.
Yeah, it was buried. It was over.
Derek Lively named the Rising Stars player pool for All-Star Weekend. Obviously, that's not going to be something that he is involved in with his injury that we're hoping he can be back for before the start of the playoffs. But it's cool to see him get that sort of recognition. And, you know, obviously a lot of their championship hopes kind of hinge on his availability. Great win last night, though. Dante Exum actually doubtful for the next game. So not out. He is apparently on the comeback trail, hasn't been able to play all year. I don't know how much he helps, you know, but he is a decent defender. He's a big body, gives you defensive versatility, some ball handling, and a little bit of offensive game, a little bit of creating off the dribble. But, you know, Dante Exum definitely a role player at this point in his career. Stars are in Vegas tonight. Big game here. Playoff positioning, you know, going to be on the line. Just beat the Golden Knights last week, trying to win their third game in a row. So it's going to be a fun one. And that game tonight is at 9 o'clock. The Texas Rangers have a new TV deal. They're creating a, you know, a bunch of new partnerships with local cable providers. So if you have local cable or satellite, you're going to be able to watch the Mavs, right? Is this what this comes down to, Wolchuk?
Yeah, it's DirecTV, DirecTV Stream, UVerse, and Spectrum. We'll all be able to have that. And then there'll also be some local, I think at least 15 games that'll be on CW33 if you're in the Dallas market. So you'll be able to consume your Rangers. You don't necessarily have to do the Victory Plus deal.
Okay, hey, one little basketball update. Shams is reporting the Heat engaged with Golden State and Phoenix on a potential Jimmy Butler trade.
You think that's a three-way?
I don't know if that's a three-way or if that's trying to, you know, out-leverage one team for a little bit more.
Well, maybe the price has come down so far they don't need the third team.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's going to be really interesting to see if that can reshape the West. I don't know if anything can help Golden State or Phoenix. They look old, and it looks desperate to try to bring somebody in like this. I don't know how many times this actually works, where a team that's massively underperforming brings in another guy that really needs the ball. It just seems like your issues are much more fundamental than, you know, bringing a Jimmy Butler in to fix it. But, you know, as he showed in Miami, he could be quite a catalyst when his game is going. Okay, we have leftover storylines from the Brian Schottenheimer hiring, guys. I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. We've had a couple of days to react to it, but we never got to the story of Dak Prescott and nine other Cowboys being there.
Yep.
How relevant is this, you know, for you? Dak said, I wanted to show him that I'm going to be here with you and for you. Not only that, but he's here for 4 years. I got 4 years on my contract. He's tied directly to my future. So let's go be the best that we can be in these 4 years together. I guess it was cool. I think that was probably just more evidence of why he got the job because so many people in the building like him.
I think that is a big factor. If you look at the pie, you know, that I think the players, it's something the Joneses do. They listen to their players and they listen to outside sources and stuff like that, and their players clearly spoke. There were people in the building that were players that were in the building that were they were rallying in order to get him, if even as the offensive coordinator. Maybe there was going to be an outside hire from another head coach was going to come in, but they were talking about, hey, the players were trying to push to make sure that he had some type of spot on this staff. And the Joneses said, wow, if we think this much of him. And, you know, they asked Will McClay his opinion as well. Who can we work with in personnel? Well, that's probably why you got the coach you got.
I mean, is it being too tough to say maybe you go with who you like when you don't have an awareness or a desire to go find the absolute best?
No, it's exactly what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the easiest thing to do. If I don't want the best, why am I going to go slaving away through a bunch of interviews for no reason? Like, let me just make this as easy on myself as possible. It's all back to the big C word for them, and it's comfortability. What's the easiest
Jerry
possible
did not
thing
want,
that
Jerry
I can do?
Jerry didn't like you saying that yesterday. Jerry's talking about, you know, this wasn't an outside, this is not a comfortable hire and all that. No, he also did hire a head coach, a guy for a head coach that didn't have head coaching experience in Jason Garrett. So this is not something that's new for Jerry Jones. He's kind of talking about it as not being comfortable. You know,
that seems delusional, though. Like, I'll show you how I'm not going to be comfortable. Yeah, I'm going to hire Brian Schottenheimer.
And I'm like, sir, you hired Jason Garrett that had no head coaching experience just 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Come on. It's you're you know, listen, we all and you want to feel like you want to feel comfortable to a point with what you're doing, but you don't want it to let you just overwhelm you when you're trying to do your job. And like, hey, we all like, okay, hey, I'm comfortable making this move. Sometimes you have to talk people out of being comfortable, though. Like, listen, we can't do this. We got to go. And that's what I'm saying. I just wonder with Schottenheimer, was one of his selling points was when he talked to the Joneses, like, you know, he brought up all the things that they, in their mind, were thinking there were problems with the offense.
Yeah.
When they were listening to Mike McCarthy, when they sat down on Monday and watched the film with the coaches, and McCarthy was explaining stuff.
Yeah,
I'm sure there were times where, you know, Brian Schottenheimer's probably sitting there like, we effed that up. And now he was able, in sitting in those meetings with the Joneses and seeing their reactions, he's able to play on that. Mm-hmm. He's able. Remember the time in the Atlanta game. you know, before Dak got hurt, we were
That really annoyed you guys.
Yeah, remember the remember the Baltimore game when we and I remember Jerry. I remember the Baltimore game. You had questions about. You know, he's able to bring that by and then say, "Well, this is what I would have done differently here." So maybe McCarthy did not give him a listen, you know, and he just kind of stored it all away, just put it all away, and then when he got his opportunity, he unloaded. And that's what got him the job, probably.
Yeah, so we have to hope that, you know, he genuinely has evolved with his understanding, and then he's going to know how to implement it and call the plays for it.
Sure.
I'll hold out a significant amount of optimism. You know, I think you saw enough good. I mean, over 4.5 yards an attempt in the run game with Rico Dowdle. If you can install a good blocking scheme and create bigger holes, and now you're making the defense think twice about playing clog and cover against Dak Prescott, I think you could take a significant step in the right direction, at least schematically. Do they have enough talent that they can become contenders even if Schottenheimer's the best offensive coordinator / head coach in football next year? I don't think so.
Not right now, they don't.
I think you have to nail a couple of drafts, and you know, you could be looking at it like, let's load up on offensive linemen and a runner, or you might think, hey, we're going to win this thing with defense. You know, that's why I think it's going to be a multi-year process. You need multiple premium picks to address, you know, the weaknesses around your football team, needing corner and linebacker and defensive line at the same time you're trying to improve a running game and add a second wide receiver. I just think if you're not going to start spending money, okay, which takes me to another talking point here of the Cowboys coverage here. Stephen Jones also saying we're going to take a hard look at how we've looked at free agency, and if we need to change some things there, we will. Not just Jerry saying we got to maybe look at how we're running the cap, but Steven acknowledging, you know, some free agency issues. Is that a little bit different? Do you think he could be priming us to actually have an unexpected, healthy free agent class?
Two best things they could have said. Number one has to be the cap.
Yeah.
That's the thing that they've got to get figured out. They've never had it figured out. I don't envision when it's going to be figured out. But, yeah, you can't look at, say, just the NFC Championship game. Okay, I'm not even going to include the AFC. You've got Frankie Louvu making massive plays for Washington in that game, free agent edition. Zach Bond forcing a fumble for Filthy. That's a free agent edition, right? C.J. Gardner-Johnson, another guy that was starting for them, free agent edition. Like, free agency does matter. And their one guy that they did sign led the damn team in tackles in Eric Kendricks. That's production. You can't just ignore free agency and expect to contend. So I'll believe it when I see it. But those are two great things that they at least acknowledge they probably do need to address.
I think what they're going to change with their philosophy, they're not going to focus so much on signing their own. I think they're looking at signing our own, and where has that got us? Has signing our own limited what we could do in free agency, and has free agency's players, are they better than our own?
Yeah,
and
you need to trust your pro scout's abilities.
Yeah, I think this is where this is going to change. They're not going to be really interested in, oh, we're going to sign Oso Digizua. Oh, we're going to sign Lewis. Oh, we're going to sign. You know, they're good players, but maybe the focus now does not mean, hey, we have to get Steele done. You know, we have to get
Yeah,
maybe take what you're thinking about with those guys and working the angle of other players. You know, it's all about comfortable spending money with guys we know, not comfortable spending money with guys we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of where this is at.
And it's just the occasional big one that is if you're not going to spend any more money, $18 million for Terrence Steele, $11 million for Jalen Smith, a one-legged linebacker. Mm-hmm. You know, those are back-breaking kind of decisions that we've had to try to overcome. Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Gallup, Zeke.
Yes. I mean, and guys off injury.
Dak.
Like, oh, it's okay if you get hurt if you're playing here. We're still going to give you, you know, what you were planning on getting anyway. It's time, as we broadcast live here from the Brass Tap in Rockwall, brought to you by Stella Artois, to head back into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has LA
here.
Live.
We lit. We in here. We lit.
I'm saying.
Hey, say. So when are you fellas headed to New Orleans for the Super Bowl?
Monday night. Monday night, yeah, after the show.
Monday night. Well, if you run into Pat Mahomes' pops on Bourbon Street, make sure he gets back to his room safely.
Oh, yeah. Please. People are worried about him.
Yeah.
I'm going to be looking for him.
Be careful in New Orleans.
Just follow the cigar smoke.
Yeah. Smoking on that Joe Barrow. All right, let's get into a Toxic Tuesday right after the great Rick James. Let's go.
shoot.
All right, you swears. It's time to smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a talk. It'll make you dance with some of everything.
Slim Thug.
The reason why I'm so emotional, because this is my first time that I've ever performed without any cocaine, without any pill, without any ecstasy.
Let's go. Let's go, girl. Free your mind and your ass would follow. This is LA Live for Tuesday, January 28th, 2025. It is a toxic Tuesday here in LA Live, and I promise you, folks, it will be toxic. Mr. Gavin Dawson.
Sir.
While you were out on Friday, Howie Mandel ambushed Bill Burr by forcing him to meet his side brother, alleged side brother, Billy Corgan. So they finally linked up. They finally seen each other. And it happened on, Thursday. We seen it Friday, whatever. And I played it, but all weekend, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if this is real or if they really side brothers or is this a work? I'm not sure. Bill Burr.
Not either.
I'm gonna play you some clips, and I want you to decipher because you know you're pretty good at looking in, seeing the 3D things that are happening when people are not looking. You know what I mean?
Dick Wolf of Radio is here.
The Dick Wolf of Radio.
Yeah. There we go.
Yep. Your third eye is open, sir. Yeah, Bill Burr is good. He's a good actor. You know, he's done some TV and movies and whatnot. He's
like
trying to be
Star Wars stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he's trying to be better at acting because I think he has some Broadway stuff coming up. This would be this would be a good rollout because he does have a special dropping soon. Billy Corgan, he owns like a wrestling league. So that's always about working somebody, you know?
Yeah.
It's always the work. And then Howie Mandel is addicted to the bit. So I don't know who to trust in this situation. I'll let you listen to these three clips if we can get to all three of them. And you tell me what you think. Is there work in this or is this a genuine article right here? This is Billy Burr and his alleged side brother, Billy Corgan. If you Google those two up, they look just alike right now.
Dad was a Rolling Stone.
When they were younger, they didn't look anything alike. And Pops is basically saying I was a traveling musician on one side of the game, and to the other family he told him he was a dentist. Allegedly.
Traveling dentist.
Yes, let's go to Howie Mandel's podcast. Bill Burr kind of lets Bill Corgan know that I don't really appreciate you going around and telling this story. Tell me if you think this is the genuine article or if this is a ruse.
You've done well for yourself. I'm happy for you. You know, but I just would prefer if you just kind of go around. No, not telling these stories. Like, why did you feel the need to do that?
Okay, can I give you the setup on all this? Because it's his fault.
You can do whatever you want because you kind of already did that.
Okay, I'm trying to be respectful.
Now you are.
Okay, no, wait. He told me you were cool
You're
with me.
You're a Cubs fan? That tracks.
Theo Epstein.
Wrigleyville. Bunch of South Side's where it's at. What's up?
Sounds like it may be real.
Yeah, it's a little hostile.
Yeah.
You know, but it seems like maybe at the very least there was some stage to this, like how it was like, let's do this on my show. Like, I'll have both of you on and you can confront him here.
Because when it first came out, Billy Corgan told Howie Mandel this on the low. And Howie said, let's pick it to the pod. And that's when we got a hold of it and it got big. And now he's, you know, he's cornering Bill Burr with his alleged side brother.
Might be like showmen helping each other out promoting the podcast. Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. I'm not sure.
Yeah, this would be great. We got everybody talking about it this month. Now let's come on the podcast. We'll do episode two. And, you know, everybody's going to get a big entertainment factor out of this.
And I watched this. Like, not one time did the guy say, hey, let me see a photo of your dad. So let's compare the pops. They didn't compare the pops whatsoever. They just, you know, they were talking like my dad, your dad type thing. Our dad.
Yeah, we can get this settled if we have pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen to this clip right here. Howie tries to get these guys to open up to each other. And Bill Burr says, our dad.
It's not that I don't want to. It's just like this. I don't think that this was the situation. But I am happy, though, that I have evolved as much as a person that I'm able to sort of, like, handle. Because I don't want to, like, get mad at you
because
of my dad or whatever. But
why,
like,
don't you talk more? And, Sonny, why don't you play some beautiful, like, mood, like family?
Dude, you are such a dick. You know, I never thought that, you know, when I finally would meet you, that there would be, like, cameras on and this here.
Yeah, he might believe it's real. He just doesn't appreciate this playing out in public like this.
So do you think they had a conversation before all of this, like you said earlier, and they've kind of hashed the way through it because he's talking about our dad?
Yes.
And they didn't ask any questions about the dad except for, like, one little clip I have later, but they didn't go into it.
No, I feel like you added now an element of production coming in from Howie Mandel, which makes me feel like he's trying to play this up like he's doing a Howard Stern segment or some sort of a TV talk show with Ricky Lake or something. You know what I'm saying? Like trying to make a production out of it.
Yeah, he's not the one for it, by the way.
But Bill has to be at some point complicit in the planning of this. You know, I don't get the feeling from him that this is a surprise to him. I feel like he's kind of playing his part.
He's not selling it well.
No. No, there should be, like, some bleep yous. I didn't know we were going to talk about this, you know?
We're just, like, storm
I
off.
Told you I didn't want to talk about this on
Leave.
Air. Yeah. We got to wait till the My23andMe comes back or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a little bit of that, but it wasn't a whole lot of pushback. Like, it could be a work. Mm. They discovered more lies from their alleged father right here.
So, what was your relationship with Dad?
It was difficult.
With Dad.
It was difficult.
What did he tell you he did for a living?
He was a musician. Traveling, you know, kind of club musician, never got above the clubs.
Well, he played piano, saxophone.
No, just guitar.
Well, in my house.
Oh, sorry.
Are you serious?
Oh.
He told me he couldn't play guitar because his fingers were too fat.
Mm.
All right. Well, yeah, it was weird, but you know what's funny, though, is if we were born during the internet, like, he wouldn't... I don't feel like you can get away with that anymore. Like, at some point, it did become funny to me that he had multiple families.
Hmm.
Wow, he's speaking about it like it's real. Like,
yeah,
it's reality.
Real, yeah.
This is it, yeah.
Does he know his dad did have multiple families? I think this could be something where they kind of look similar. Their dads were both philanderers. But, like, how could you know to play all three of those instruments and you're only telling one family you can play two and the other you can only play one? That seems to debunk it, if you ask me. Just a lot of kawinky dinks.
Well, he kept adding on to the sauce right here. He went on the Rich Eisen show, which was a pretty good interview. I watched most of it. And Rich Eisen asked him about this situation.
Yeah.
So you and Shane Gillis tonight going to raise some money. By the way, that was my way of just kind of bringing up Billy Corgan to you minutes ago when I asked if Ed Harris is going to go on a podcast and ask if you're acting like
your brother.
Oh,
is that what that was?
That's what that was. Well, was that, people want to know, were you really pissed?
Huh? Listen, I don't like talk about
your stuff.
Yeah, I don't. So, like, Howie did what he did.
Yeah.
Because he is a Hollywood whore. And he doesn't care what happens, that he just didn't.
That's awesome. Okay.
You all know, right. He could have said something and
he just threw it out there.
Up all that weirdness. You know, Billy's fine. I mean, that's the first time I ever met him, but that was, like, fine or whatever. But, like, I did not appreciate what Howie did. No, not
okay.
at all.
All right. So
not
then.
At all. But he's like Howie, so he's, like, sort of hard to hate.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
So he doesn't talk about his personal life unless it's his anger problems?
Yeah, he doesn't talk. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, I don't believe Bill Burr would pull the rules on us like that, but who knows, man? This is the darn industry. Yeah, you never know.
Sometimes,
bro.
You know, buddies can get together and have a couple of Coleys or whatever and think they got something hilarious they want to hatch on the world, and it kind of flops and leaves people confused.
Yeah. You got Howie Mandel involved. That's why I just can't do it, man. It's Howie Mandel. He's full of bits. Full of bits.
Yeah. He's only done one good show his entire life, Deal or No Deal.
Ooh,
I like that.
I love Bobby's World, bro.
Okay.
I love Bobby's World. He did that movie, The Little Monsters. Got him, need him. It's good stuff, bro. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on the Toxic Tuesday. There's a new viral AI Jerry Jones clip.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Nah, it's so good, Broadus.
It's yeah. wild.
It's a fire. Chef's Kiss, whoever put this one together, is probably the same guy to put the
same group, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, D&D. I think so. Yeah. But I cannot play it, folks.
Oh, no.
I cannot play it. But I can play this viral clip for you right here. The new Jags head coach that everybody's making fun of.
Yeah.
This is Liam Cohen. Mm-hmm. They hit him with the AI.
Duval. That was really weird, wasn't it? I don't even know what that means. Probably shouldn't have done that. I'm sure Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, is rethinking his decision to hire me right now. But it's okay because he looks like a cross between Saddam Hussein and the Monopoly guy. I mean, seriously. Look at him. It's a good thing he owns a private jet.
Look at him.
Because he's definitely on the no-fly list. I'm really nervous right now, which is weird because this is just the Jaguars. Imagine how nervous I'd be if this was an actual NFL team. I actually didn't really want this job. I just wanted to get Trent Baalke's dumbass fired. I didn't think they were actually going to do it, but I underestimated how that guy was at his job. I'm incredibly white. The only thing whiter than me is a 4-H club meetup. A lot of people have said, I look like I should be managing a goddamn Circuit City instead of being a football coach. And I actually used to be a cart wrangler at Circuit City. So, touche. I'm glad I'm here. I'll get a fat paycheck and get fired.
The Circuit City, that's really on point.
Yeah.
I resonated with that.
Yes. Yeah, I loved that store back in the day, dude. It was like Best Buy before Best Buy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look forward to hearing that other AI, Jerry Jones. I can't imagine anything's better than I fired Mike McCarthy because he looks like an effing pork chop.
It was too hot, right, Lucius?
It was way too hot. It was way too much. If I bleeped it, all you hear was just bleeps. It wouldn't.
Very aggressive.
It was very aggressive, bro.
It was sexual and violent.
He took it a step further. What else we got right here for you boys? How much time I got on deck?
Two, three minutes.
I'll save that for tomorrow. I guess I'll play another.
Show.
Yeah. I'll play another clip. Somebody said that's AI. Yeah, fool.
That's not what I introduced it as.
Wait,
AI.
What? It's AI?
My God.
Holy crap. I didn't know that.
Doesn't Liam Cohen seem like he should be like a member of a 2000s UK alternative band?
Oh, that's
Liam Cohen, man.
He's not cool enough.
He's the bee's knees.
He's just beefing with his brother.
We're going to find out Ed Sheeran's his brother. He'll be on Howie Mandel to announce it.
Oasis.
Yeah. All right, before I get out of here, how many executive orders has President Trump signed this week, fellas? Go.
18.
41.
13.
22.
Whoever said 41 was the closest, I think it's like 37 right now.
On fire.
I think it's 37 right now.
Yep.
Everybody's
he's just hanging out doing interviews, signing them like he's an athlete, signing autographs.
Oh, he's just signing them and he's throwing the pins into the audience. Yeah, get your pin.
How about that? Really, there's like those pins are like if you know, like when Japan surrendered on the USS Missouri, like they gave like MacArthur handed the pins to the guys that were prisoners of war, like it was an honorable thing. Trump's chunking them into the stands, like,
throwing them, bro.
Like, hey, and like dudes are like wrestling like it's a foul ball, you know? They're like diving on the ground.
Yeah. It wasn't the most surprising thing they've done so far. The most surprising thing to me was today saying, oh, yeah, those drones are FAA approved the whole entire time. Yeah. The Biden administration was like, yeah, we don't know what it is.
He shows up
a week later. He's like, yeah, they're just drones that people are running tests with. We're fine.
Respectfully, I believe Biden know what they were.
He was just being honest.
Mysterious drones.
Oh, yeah. Manui. The executive orders right here. Everybody's not a fan of which orders are being signed and whatnot, but I think Trump was looking out for the Cowboys fans with this one.
And lastly, sir, we have an executive order for Jerry Jones to step down as the owner of the Dallas Cowboys in 2025. In hopes to make America's team great again.
That's a big one, huh? A lot of people are waiting for this for a long, for years. For decades.
Yeah. Facts.
That was after the JFK one, right?
Decades, baby. Yeah, he signed that on up and threw the pen into the audience.
Yeah.
It was a great time. All right, I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing and the creek don't rise. My name is Lucius Alexander. That's my time. I will holler. Peace.
There he goes. Lucius Alexander every night. LA Live here on 105.3 The Fan at 540. Yeah, I saw that. And did you guys see the Chinese ChatGPT that's launched, DeepSeek?
No.
Yeah, I think they're lying.
I think they're lying.
I think because they're lying.
It's supposed to be better, free, and take up like only 10% of the resources as far as the processing power. But Lucius has the you know the theory. Everybody's trying to say they're lying because I guess they're not supposed to be in possession of these NVIDIA chips.
Yeah,
but they're saying they're just doing it with regular GPUs. But if they are, it's going to like slam dunk on OpenAI. But pretty cool competition in the world of artificial intelligence today. The Chinese coming in hot. Possibly lying about it. Well, Chuck, where are we going next?
Let's do a little TD Tuesday, shall we? The best touchdowns from Conference Championship Sunday next.